And, you know, usually when somebody's coming to speak and you get to introduce them, you're supposed to tell, you know, everything that they've done. Well, I won't do that to Jeremiah. But Jeremiah's been a great guy. I've got three older brothers that I've grown up with. And over the last couple years, though, Jeremiah's been really close and has definitely become just like another older brother for me. And I don't know if that's good or not. But, you know, I've really developed a strong relationship with him. And plus, Jeremiah owes me because I let him come tag along with my wife and I, and he got to meet my wife's sister. So he owes me.
It's very good to be here this morning. It's very humbling to be speaking this morning, but it's good to be here. I'm going to be preaching this morning about love. Everybody say love. Isn't that fun? Just say love again. And, you know, I have a story. My scripture, let me read my scripture first. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. It says, Jesus replied, he was talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, I mean. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God. They were asking him about, they were experts in religious law, and they were asking him about a bunch of stuff. Isn't that great? Really got my theology cap on this morning. 37 says, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord the God, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Like I said, I'm going to preach about love this morning. And I have some slides up there, and I got several, so they're just going to be flipping through them. So just, you know, be patient. There's not a lot up there, but there's good pictures. I'm going to be talking about love in marriage. I'm going to be talking about love in your community. And then I'm going to be talking about loving like Jesus. Is that all right this morning? And I promise if you'll just, you know, say amen a few times and preach with me, I won't hold you very long. Because I'm not Pastor Gene. Pastor Gene don't preach very long, but I preach even shorter. Now, last night, I preached to the walls, and it took 45 minutes to get through this. So, you know, just help me out a little bit, and it may, you know, the walls wasn't amening. What's the first thing you think about when you think about love?
Exciting and new, come aboard. We're expecting.
I gotta be honest this morning. Pastor Gene called me from Hawaii and was asking me about how things were going, and told him I was preaching about love, and that was all him. He's the one that told me to do that, so you can blame him. But yeah, I'm gonna be talking about love and marriage. Loving the community and loving like Jesus. And I've asked a few people, you know, if I can use their stories. And I've asked a few people if they would speak this morning, if they would, you know, give a little bit of when they first met their wives or their husbands. And I'm just going to get Kay Morris. I asked Kay Morris to talk this morning. I like getting out here in the crowd. It makes me feel like a talk show host. Go ahead, Kay.
Well, Jeremiah asked me when I first saw Mike, and I thought, well, we went to high school together, so I saw him quite a bit, and I had always walked to school, and Mike drove this sharp little 52 Ford with a stick shift, and when another friend and I walked to and from school, after school, it was a real long block, and it took him all the way down to get that car shifted, you know, and we always thought, oh, brother, you know. Well, we graduated from high school, Mike went in the Air Force, and a friend and I went out to a place where the kids hung out, and Mike was home on leave, and I didn't know that, but I walked in, and there he was, and I said to my friend, wow, look at Mike Morris. He sure has changed, and we've been sweethearts ever since.
Thank you, Kay. That's awesome. Mike changed. I asked Brent to speak a little bit this morning, too. His story was real fun. He didn't even want to do it. We work kind of the same stores. We were at Walmart together, and I asked him. He didn't want to do it, but I'm putting him on the spot.
Well, when I met Stephanie, we go to high school together, and she always was kind of a snot. I tried to date her when I was in junior high, but she never gave me much attention. And then when I finally had my eye on her, and I was praying to God that, you know, that he would give me somebody like her that was good looking. No, she changed. She was very nice, very good looking, and... No, she's very nice, very good looking, and had turned into a wonderful Christian woman. So I was praying to God that, you know, I could have somebody like her in my life, and I finally asked her to go out on a date, and plans were she was actually going out with somebody else, and I was going to go out with a different girl. Well, that night, my plans ended up changing, and I was over at my friend's house, and then she just showed up, and from there, we dated and fell in love and got married. And after our first date, we went to Applebee's. She told, you know, we told each other that we weren't going to get serious. But then she went home that night and told her mom she wanted to marry me. So
they always say that. Go ahead, give him a hand. Next, I'm going to talk to Ryan. Ryan's my buddy. He's Matt's brother. And this ought to be real good because he's engaged. And y'all remember how it was when you was engaged. Go ahead, Ryan.
I told myself I wouldn't cry. Now, a funny thing about it is I think Rex, my future father-in-law, probably knew about it before I did, because when I was the junior high youth leader for a while there, they were Rex and Donnie were helping out with the youth group, the junior high, and he said to Alyssa, he said, "What do you think about that Ryan Engel? He's a pretty good guy, youth leader, you know." So that's kind of a funny little, what? Oh, okay. I still owe him for that. But with Alyssa, I've always just more and more, every day it seems like there's something new that makes me just love her so much more. And I think the very first time I saw her again after I'd moved away from Joplin, there's just something just kind of hit me real hard whenever I saw her, because we was in Walmart out in Rolla, Missouri, and I had no idea that she has family up there, and I was up there away from everybody, hadn't thought of too many people in Joplin for a long time, and all of a sudden I come walking out. I was with a buddy of mine around the corner of Walmart out of the aisle, and I looked down and saw somebody. I turned to my buddy as we turned and kept walking. I said, "That kind of looks like a girl I knew back in Joplin." And I hear, Ryan Engel. And I was like, "What? That really is her." And I turned around, and that night I hadn't seen her in 2 or 3 years, probably quite a bit of time. And I walked away from that saying, "Whoa, that girl's, she growed up. She looked good." And just everything, I mean, there's just so many things just as we got to know each other, it just kind of started happening. And even to the point where I have wonderful parents who always prayed for us when we was growing up. And here a couple weeks ago, I just thought of something with them. They always would pray for me every day. God, for each one of us boys, me and my brothers, God, wherever the woman is that you have for him, bless that woman and grow her up in you. And just every single day, from the time we were little kids, my parents would pray for our future mates. And I just told them the other day, I said, "You know what's the most exciting thing to me is to know that that woman that you guys prayed for me, that I found her, and that you were praying for Alyssa for all those years. And she's been in our prayers before we even knew her." And so that just really amazed me the other day when I was thinking of that.
Everybody say, "Aww." Now, when I first met my wife, she was about 17, 18 years old. She had long blonde hair down her back, and she was holding a fresh homemade apple pie she had made for somebody. And I was like, "All right, I'm ready to go to Laverne's wedding chapel over in Miami right now. Let's go." I was ready. But I'm going to be talking about love and marriage today. Oh, could you go back one? I'm sorry. See, look how goofy that guy is. See, I got those wedding pictures up there because people are so goofy at their weddings. Ephesians 5:25 says, "For husbands," this means, and I'm skipping over the whole, I'm not skipping it, I'm just going past it. submit, about wives submitting to your husbands. Aren't you glad about that this morning, ladies? Say amen. It says, 25 says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. That's how we're supposed to love, men. We are supposed to love our wives. Even though things change, we are supposed to love our wives like Christ loved the church. I would much rather submit and let somebody else love like Jesus loved, because you can't do it. All you can do is do the best that you can. And in marriage, things change. And me and my wife have only been married for 2 years, and things have already changed. Not negative. Things are good. I'm not, you know, down on her this morning, but, you know, things change. And people, you know, when you live together, things just happen. And the real person starts to come out, because, you know, when you're engaged and, you know, you love and, oh, you're just the best. I just want to be by you. When we first got married, I would go in there and just do the dishes just to be by her and just love her and, you know, just talk to her. And now it's like, hey, why don't you bring me a piece of that chocolate cake when you're done doing the dishes there, honey? That's what I want to do. But if I'm going to be doing like Jesus does, I go in there and help her with the dishes. I don't always want to, do we, men? We don't want to do the dishes. But you go in there and you help anyway. Because that's what Jesus would do. He would love that wife like he loves the church. And he gave up his life for the church. And men, you need to keep romance in your marriage. Did you hear my voice crack right there? Wasn't that cute? I'm 33 years old. My voice is still cracking. You need to keep romance. And this is up to the man in the marriage relationship. You need to keep romance. Call her. Leave her little notes. My wife loves it when I leave her little notes. When we were in the men's group, Carl right here had been married for 60 years, 61 years. He told us all that he leaves a flower every day in a little vase on their shelf. 60 years. Isn't that awesome? Every day he picks up, goes outside, picks a flower, even if you have to pick it from the neighbor's yard. He would go and put that flower in that vase. And let me tell you this. Okay, I need all the ladies to stick your hands in your ear and go la 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 la. Okay, men, I'm at Walmart every day of the week. Every day of the week, there are flowers on sale at Walmart for $3.88. Fresh flowers. It's not that hard. And the girls may say, we don't like flowers. Yeah, they do. Just get them some flowers. They love them. But things change in marriage. And it's love is an action. You have to keep trying. You can't just, you know, think about the way things were and say, why can't they be like that? Well, because you're not acting the same. You're not being the same. You're not putting out your best effort. You need to put out your best effort when you're married. Because that's what your wife expects. That's what the husbands expect. Amen? I'll give you an example. The other day, we were going to, my wife had a doctor's appointment. She is with child. And we were going from the doctor's appointment to Cheddar's. And Pastor Gene had called me and asked me to speak this morning. And I had already planned it. See, I'm the type of person, I don't plan things. She does. She's a planner, and I don't plan things. I say, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. And then everything's all on one weekend. We're like, ah. So it's good that God does that. He gives somebody's best for somebody's best and puts it together and makes a whole person, right? So we were going, and we were at the doctor's appointment. Pastor Gene called me and asked me to preach. Well, I had promised my granddad, who's 85 years old, turned 85 just in October, and they celebrated his birthday. So we couldn't be down for the birthday because we were at my son's football game. It's his first year of football, and you've heard me talk about him. But my granddad wanted me to come down for the weekend, or I called him and told him we were going to come down and kind of do a little birthday celebration, and it was on this Sunday. I was supposed to be there today. I was supposed to be in Oklahoma this morning, but and I told Gene I told Pastor Gene I would preach, and so in between the doctor's appointment and Cheddar's, me and my wife were going to lunch at Cheddar's. She rattled off about 50 things, that's all it sounded like to me. And I was thinking in my mind, okay, This is the way my mind works. I was like, if Granddad will let me move it back another weekend, I will preach. If he won't, I'll just tell Pastor Gene I can't preach. And I had the problem solved. That's it. That's the way men think. Cut and dry, right? But Cassie, from Main Street, past, it was a little past Main, all the way to Rainsline. That's, I was just like, and she, all the time she's pointing directions. You need to get over here. You need to get in this lane. And I was just like, oh! And I had already made up my mind what I was going to do. So it was just like, she was asking me, and I don't know, I didn't know if she wanted me to make up my mind right then about everything or what she was wanting me to do, but, and I spoke without thinking. You guys ever do that? I said, we were at a stoplight, and I said, you know, your jibber jabber is about to drive me crazy. She got her feelings hurt. I'm sorry, honey. But I apologized right then. I knew as soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, oh, why did I say that? We just had our doctor's appointment. You know, everything's good. Heard a baby's heartbeat and everything's good. And why did I say that? I just ruined the whole day. But I was like, honey, I'm sorry. I did not mean for that to come out. That's not what I meant to say. That's not what I meant to, you know. And she said, I know. She's a very understanding, loving woman. She has to be married to me. But, you know, guys, it's our opportunity. It's our deal. We have to, you know, plan. We have to make the weekend trips. We have to take out the trash. I make my son take out the trash. You have to help with the dishes sometimes. Love is an action that you have to do, right? I want to read this story about love. It says, newspaper columnist and minister George Crane tells of a wife. This is really small print, so I'm going to get, this is my work from, this is what I do for work. Sorry, it's on there. It says, newspaper columnist and minister George Crane tells of a wife who came into his office full of hatred toward her husband. I don't only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want him to hurt as much as he has hurt me. Dr. Crane suggested an ingenious plan. Go home and act as if you really love your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind, considerate, and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe that you love him. After you've convinced him of your undying love, that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb. Tell him you're getting a divorce. That will really hurt him. With revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, beautiful, beautiful. Will he ever be surprised? And she did with enthusiasm, acting as if for 2 months she showed love, kindness, listening, giving, reinforcing, sharing. When she didn't return, Crane called. Are you ready now to go through with the divorce? Divorce, she claimed. Never. I discovered I really do love him. See, her actions had changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love established not so much by fervent promise as often as repeated deeds. So love is an action. And I would also like to talk about your kids. And the Bible says that your children are a blessing. I only have one. One on the way. One. But your children are a blessing. And it says, blessed is a man whose quiver is full. Your children are like arrows. And a quiver is, like in the olden days, they used to have a little pouch on their back that held arrows. And that's a quiver. And it says, blessed is a man whose quiver is full of arrows, of children. He's blessed. And it talks about us as parents being archers and pointing those kids in the right direction. You know, when you shoot an arrow, you got to pull the, it's got to be just the right tension, and just the arrow's got to be just in the right place. And it talks about us shooting our children out into society, into America, into, you know, living as adults. And we need to discipline our children today. And I don't know what works for you. What works for me is corporal punishment. My son needed to get his rear end spanked when he was a little kid. And that's just basically, that doesn't work for everybody, but it did work for me. And it worked for me as a kid. My dad used to wear us out really good. They didn't have timeout when I was a kid. They just had out time, which you would be knocked out. But and my mom would hit us with what, if you were in the kitchen smarting off, you know, you had to test mom. You had to, you know, I would always let my older brother, because he's not as smart as I am, he would always, I would let him kind of be mouthy to mom, because you couldn't tell. Mom would be just sitting there doing the dishes and just kind of laugh it off sometimes. And then other times she would just throw something, a pan, a toy in the floor, if there was a guitar in there, or whatever. You had to test mom. You kind of had to, you know, go with the boundaries. And is mom, how's mom going to do today? And my brother never would, you know, he didn't get it. He would still just test her until she reacted. So I'm talking about love and marriage and disciplining your kids. I got a dry throat this morning. But I got some snot hanging out, too. I need to wipe my nose. I apologize. You know what? I'm sorry. You know what? If I had it to do all over again, I would still be a pastor. But I would be a pastor / pharmacist in a small town, like, say, Alba. Or like Carterville. Because you know what? You know everybody's business. You would know everybody in your church. You would know their business. You would say, Lord Jesus, I just feel like there's somebody over here that has a foot fungus right now, Lord. I just pray in your name that you would just touch them right now. You would know everything about everybody. Isn't that right? I'm sorry, I got off the subject there. But we need to discipline our kids. I see kids all the time. I'm in Walmart every day of the week. Like I said, I'm a sales rep for a company called Crossmark, which Brent got me that job. Thanks, Brent. But I see kids every day that are just throwing a fit. I hear a kid scream just about every day that I'm at work. And there's just no need for that. If the kid's screaming, you take them home. Take them to the bathroom. And you have to be in parenting. And I know I have one kid. You're like, how do you know, Jeremiah? Because my son's good, you know. He's an awesome kid. He's well-behaved when he has to be. He's just a good kid. And people tell me all the time, you know, your son's really good. He's, you know, in situations where you have to be quiet and you have to just kind of settle down. He does that. He just kind of sits there. Because he knows if I give him the look, he's in trouble. And I haven't had to spank him for a while now, because when he was little, amen, when he was little, when he first started crawling, putting his hand in that plant, poking keys in the electrical socket, I spanked him. I spanked his little hands. And you have to hurt them a little bit. They have to know that they have been swatted. You can't just make the sound. They have to know. They have to know, because we are saving them from a little bit of pain once they get out. That's our job as parents. You have to be consistent with your discipline. You have to have, and you have to have a united front. When there's two parents in the home, you cannot yell at one parent in order, let me get this straight. If the kid is doing something and one parent gets onto him and the other parent says, you're being too rough with him, you can't do that, because the kid is smart. Kids are very smart, and they will see, look at what I got here. And they'll stick a crowbar in that wedge and they'll wedge it open all the way. And then if they find out that they can work you against each other, what, dad will be in one room watching TV, mom will be in the kitchen, and they'll say, can I have a cookie? She'll say, go ask your dad. Go in there and say, Dad, can I have a cookie? Mom said I could. You have to be consistent. You have to have a united front. If they do that, you say, what'd your mom say? And then you go ask her. You have to be consistent, and you have to have a united front. I'm going to move on to love in your community. There we go. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14 says, brothers and sisters, that's us in the church, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. That's a big one right there. Be patient with everyone. And like I said in the first series, love is action. You know who showed me love? Whenever, and I know I always, this comes out in my sermons every time, but I can't help it. Because I went through a hard, hard time in my life. And there's people in here that affected my life that don't even know it. And I didn't even tell them I was going to do this. But in my time of trouble, when I felt uneasy, I didn't know what was going on anywhere. I didn't know if I was supposed to stay in ministry. I didn't know what I was doing. I was in church one Sunday morning, and Debbie Ford, wave to me, Debbie. Debbie Ford, she's a principal. And I have access. I know a lot of religious, spiritual leaders. I just do that because I've been raised in the church. My dad's always been a pastor. And nobody could give me a clear understanding of what was going on in my life. Nobody. And I would ask questions, and they would, you know, just say things. And it really wouldn't affect me. But Debbie Ford seen me one morning at church. It was after church was over, and we were just, she could tell there was something wrong with me. Love is action, remember. She could tell there was something wrong with me. She said, Jeremiah, what's the matter? And I said, oh, nothing. You know, typical guy answer. Yeah, nothing. I'm all right. She said, come on, tell me what's the matter. And just by doing that, we sat there for about 30 to 45 minutes just talking. And she didn't say anything really profound. She didn't say anything, you know, she didn't reveal some big mystery to me. She just sat there and listened to me. She was patient with me. She took care of me because I was weak at the time. And it's not like Debbie Ford's one of those kind of people that you can just go up to and you immediately pick up where you left off last time. We don't hang out. I mean, she's got her family. I have a family. It's not like I'm over there every Friday and I call her mom or anything like that. But she was in the moment, and she did exactly what the Bible says, exactly what Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And she could tell there was something wrong with me, and she spoke wisdom into my heart. And it was awesome. You know, here I was at church surrounded by hundreds of people, and she spoke this wisdom into my life. We were right there in all these people talking for about 30 minutes after church one day. And she was Jesus to me right then. And she just spoke that into my heart. Just opened up her life. Her and her husband both just opened up to me and spoke wisdom into my life and helped me out and said, Jeremiah, you're going to be okay. You know what? You're going to be just fine. Another person that spoke wisdom into my life and took me in was Matt's family, Matt and Ryan, their family, like he was telling a while ago. They just spoke into my life. And I went over, I was a single father, you know. I've told this story before. But I went over to their house one Sunday afternoon for dinner. Their mom invited me. And she invited me a second time for Sunday afternoon. I said, that's it. I'm here. I'm going to be here every Sunday. I'm sorry. And every Sunday for about probably 3 years, 2 or 3 years, I was there. And it wasn't like, you know how when you kind of get close to somebody too fast and they're showing up all the time, you're like, oh, they're here again. It didn't seem that way. It might have been that way when I was knocking on the door. You guys home? Let's play Scattergories. And I would always beat them at every game, you know, because I'm. But it wasn't like that. It didn't feel uncomfortable. They took me in as one of their family. And the boys, you know, they just beat me up just like one of the other brothers, because they would always team up on me. They couldn't take me one at a time. But Vernell and Pam Engle took me in, and they gave me parenting advice. Because, see, I didn't have any family around here. I was here completely by myself. And they took me in, and they gave me, Vernell gave me fatherly advice, Pam gave me motherly advice, and gave me advice on raising my son that sometimes I took and sometimes I didn't. Sometimes Pam got a little bit nosy. And if you know her, you know that's true. Sorry, Pam, I hope you're not listening this morning. But another person that treated me like Jesus, and see, I wanted to give examples of people that you wouldn't think would be like Jesus. And I have a family member, she's not really family, but she's always, and this is kind of hard to explain, her stepmom or her aunt watched my son from the time he was 6 months old until he went to kindergarten. So there was a bond there. And this girl was about 18, 17, I don't know, 20, 21, somewhere around there. I don't know. But when I went through everything, she treated me like Jesus too. And, you know, she was talking to me one night and said, well, I really don't think I'm a very good Christian. And, I go to church, but, you know, I don't do some things right. And I said, listen, her name's Christina. She gave me free haircuts. She still does to this day. I've tried to pay her before, and she said, no, I want to be a blessing to you and your son. And she gives me and my son free haircuts, which that may not seem like a bunch, but it is a bunch to me. When you're a single father and you working part-time, it was amazing to me. She gave me a table and chairs, and she would sometimes have me drop my son off at her house in the mornings and then take him to school for me because I had to be at work early. And, you know, that's going out of your way. That's going the extra mile. That's what Jesus would do. And she was talking to me one night about all this stuff. You know, I just don't think that I'm doing right. You know, I go to church, and I said, listen to me. I said, you have treated me more like Jesus than some of the Christians that I know. Because she took care of my needs. She didn't preach to me. She took care of my needs. And she took care of my son. Helped me with my son when I didn't have any help. Another person that helped me out, and I told Joe I was going to do this before church, Joe Miller. Wave to me, Joe. That's Joe. And if you want to talk about community, he's in the community. And when I first went to work at CFI, or I had been there for a little while, and everybody said, you know, hey, Jody's going to come to work here. Jody Ray, that's what people call him, know him. And everybody knew Jody. And so I was like, oh, who's this guy coming in here? And, you know. I had got some tools for Christmas, a little set of tools, you know, and they weren't very big. They were cheapies. They were real cheap. I won't tell you who got them for me. But the first thing Joe said to me, he picked up my tool. I didn't even know who Joe was. Joe picked up my tool and said, yeah, that's going to break after a week. Yeah, that's junk. And I was like, who's this guy I think he is coming in here? So we didn't hit it off right away. But Joe took me under his wing at CFI. Showed me the body business, showed me how to do body work, and he didn't have to do that. Don't say that, Joe. He just leaned over and said he still don't know how to do body work, but I do. He helped me stay away from, you know, he would warn me about some people there that work there because he knows everybody. He's been in this community for a long time, and he would warn me about certain people that work there and about, you know, things that they had done, and I just appreciate him for that, and he... And I asked him about saying this. He is in the community. I said that a while ago. He's in the community because he's had a struggle. And he'll tell you, he's a little rough around the edges. He'll say that. He had some struggle with alcohol and drugs when he was younger. And he went to AA and got cleaned up. And he don't mind me saying this because we've talked about it before. He got cleaned up. And he still goes back to the AA meetings. And he tells those people about Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And he touches people's lives that I could never reach. And you know that you could never reach. But he goes out there because he's been there and he preaches to the, he doesn't preach to them, but he tells them about Jesus and tells them about the program and keeps, you know, keeps on them and has them do what it is. He does what he does. Last of all, love like Jesus. There's no more better example than Jesus. Jesus, you know, he laid down his life. Look, that's a nice slide, isn't it? Jesus laid down his life for us. And you don't know what you're going to do in any given situation, if you really would give your life or not. But Jesus did. It says that his love is deeper than the ocean. His love fills the earth. Jesus reached down, turned my life around. And I know I could probably go out in the audience again and talk to people about what Jesus has done for him and the love that he's shown. And, I mean, we could be here for days of people talking about what Jesus has done, the love that he has shown for their lives. And he just picked my life up when I thought it was over. I thought everything was done. You know, I would just, you know, be a welder or, you know, work somewhere on a steady job. But he said, I'm not through with you yet. I love you. It says his love is everlasting. It says his love never gives up. You know, another thing about Jesus' love, it doesn't matter what you've done this morning. No matter what has happened, Jesus loves you. And you might have taken 50 steps away from Jesus. You might have taken 100 steps away from Jesus, but he's right there beside you, ready, waiting for you to turn around and say, I want you, Jesus. I want you to love you. I want to feel your love. And if you came here this morning, then you needed to hear about the love of Jesus. Because that's what's been going on in my heart. When he first asked me to preach, I was like, what am I going to preach? Because I have a whole sermon figured out where I bring a car in and I got a whole bunch of good illustrations. But I was like, no way, I can't do that in 2 weeks. So I was praying and asking God what I mean to preach about. He wanted me to preach about love. So somebody here needs to know that Jesus loves you this morning. And it doesn't matter what you've done, because, you know, people talk about the shootings at Columbine and those two boys that were killing people just because they loved Jesus, about that lady, that girl who said yes. They said, do you believe in God? Are you a Christian? And she said yes. How many of us would take that stand? Or would you say, no, I'll just say no right now so I can get out and finish my ministry? Or would you do what that girl did and say, yes, I'm a believer. I believe in God and I love him with all my heart. That's a good question to ask. But I want to tell you this. If those two boys had realized what they were doing at the time and dropped their weapons and went outside and gave themselves to the police, gave up, Jesus would have forgave them. He forgives you no matter what happens. And that doesn't mean that you have a free ticket to sin. That means that you're supposed to do everything you can to live according to God's word. But he loves you enough, and his love endures forever. Because that's what the Apostle Paul did. He used to kill people because they believed in Jesus. He used to kill people because they were believers. And God knocked him off his horse one day, or off his donkey, with a bright light. And he said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to make you an apostle. And the Apostle Paul reached more people than anyone. He's written the whole, almost a lot of the New Testament. And I just want to reiterate this morning. I've said a lot of things that were, you know, funny, and but I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is here today, and he loves you. Would everybody just bow your head this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just thank you right now. I just pray that your presence envelops this place. And Father God, I pray if someone is in need of you this morning, that they find you, Lord. Father God, I just give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I don't want to do anything that's not of you this morning. Father God, I just pray that you would guide my steps. Father God, I just worship you and praise you for everything you've done. Thank you, Jesus. This is what I want to do this morning. I'm going to be here. Pastor Matt's going to be here. Fred's going to be here. I'd like for you guys to come up. If you need some prayer, if you need prayer for anything, I'm just going to open these altars up. And these guys are going to be here. I'm going to be here. If you want one of us to pray for you, then feel free. If not, I would hope that everybody would come down and want to thank Jesus for his love and thank him for everything he's done. So I'm just going to open up the altars. Ted's going to continue to play. And we're just gonna spend some time talking to Jesus this morning, thanking him for his love, telling him about how he loves, thanking him for how he loves us. Would you come this morning? Come on, I'm gonna open up the altars up. Let's all come down and pray. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father God, for everything, Lord Jesus. If you need special prayer for anything, come on down. We're here to pray with you. If you want to just kneel at your seat, if you want to pray up here around the front, you can pray. But I just pray, if you're not going to pray, just bow your head and be reverent for those that are praying. Thank you this morning. Because it's hard sometimes for me to get up here and speak, but I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm just grateful, and I'm appreciative this morning. I just want to make a few reminders about things. Wednesday night, come back. We have classes on Wednesday night. We have Chuck's class right down here in front, and it's awesome. I've been in it, and man, he points out some things that you would never, ever think about. It's just awesome. And just pray for Pastor Gene that he doesn't suffer too much in Hawaii. He'll be back next week. He'll be back Tuesday, right? And Let's all stand this morning. I'll dismiss us in prayer. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Isn't it good to be in church? Go ahead, give him a hand clap. He's good. He's good. And his love endures forever. Father God, I just thank you this morning for just being God. And Father God, for blessing each and every individual that needed you today. Father God, I just pray you would reach down and just have everybody have a blessed week, Lord Jesus. Bring us back next Wednesday, Lord. And I just give you all the praise and glory in your name. Amen.